Thursday, March 11th. Main feature of the day was the law speech to the American Judicial Council in Williamsburg. We choppered down and back. Trip went pretty well, no major problems, a few demonstrators, but we had enough of a crowd of our own people that they didn't get any play. President gave a good speech. Tom Clark introduced him and closed the meeting and was practically in ecstasy over just the fact that the president was there, let alone his remarks. The president did a very good job of the personal opening with some good humor and off-the-cuff comments before he got into his basic text. Big problem of the day was the textile question, which got stirred up at staff meeting this morning and took a good part of the president's morning as he met with Flanagan and Ehrlichman right after the staff meeting and got into the question with them of what needs to be done now on the basis purely of the political decision. And it was agreed to have John Burns come in with Bryce Harlow and McGregor at 11 to work out an approach along lines apparently developed by Harlow and Burns in a long discussion last night. Their thought is for Burns to assemble a caucus of the minority members of the Ways and Means Committee and in effect repudiate Mills, which is a very drastic move and could be very effective. But it depended on the president meeting with Burns first, so he agreed to do so. Then they, as a result of the morning meeting, developed a presidential statement on the subject, and Burns did some of his action apparently during the day while we were gone, then came back at 4 o'clock in the afternoon after we returned, met very briefly with the president. Then they went out, released the president's statement, and Burns met with the press. In the meantime, the president also had Henry draft what was originally to be a letter and ended up being a cable to Sato, telling him that he had, in effect, welched on his promises to the president. It was very tough and I would think would really shake up the folks in Japan. Kissinger was in for a session this afternoon also after we returned. He got into some detail on Laos where he's concerned that the Vietnamese now have decided to pull out as quickly as they can because they're afraid that the North Vietnamese are massing for a big attack and that their guys are going to get trapped and slaughtered. Henry is most anxious that if there's any way we can hang in for another 3 weeks or so, that we do so because they can inflict so much more damage and buy so much more time for us down the road. The problem, of course, is that if it's a real disaster, it'll hurt too politically, and we can't afford to let that happen either. They're sending Haig over on Sunday to check the whole thing out and hopefully to get the South Vietnamese to hang in for 3 or 4 weeks. If they do, we can then time the removal of Arvin from Laos to the president's April troop withdrawal statement and make it all into one big ending the war type deal. They also got into the Mideast, where Henry's concerned that we should not try to go for a comprehensive solution, but rather should work on it bit by bit, going now for the Suez settlement and then putting the crunch on the Israelis. He thinks that we can get more done that way and that it can be more effective in dealing with the Russians. His point, however, is that it's got to be worked out on the basis of trust with Israel and that the Israelis don't trust anybody except the president. Therefore, the president will have to meet with Rabin and work it out and then send a letter to Mrs. Meir. Henry and the president then got into another chapter in their running discussion of World War II German generals. The president has read one of Churchill's histories of the war recently and has become a great expert on the relative merits of the various German generals, a subject which, of course, Henry dearly loves to discuss. The other major item today was Lockheed's problems. The president had a meeting with Connally and has agreed with his recommendation to go ahead and try to save Lockheed. We're giving up on Rolls-Royce and letting them collapse. We'll have to do it all here in the U.S. So the president agreed that Connally should remain in charge of this, that Flanagan should be the White House man on it, and, of course, Packard at defense. He called all of them on the phone late this afternoon and confirmed this view and made the point that we've got to pump in whatever money is necessary to save Lockheed and that we can justify it on the use of federal money, because if Lockheed collapsed, we'd have as much of a loss in tax revenue as the cost would be to us of propping Lockheed up at this point. This will be a ticklish maneuver, and it'll be interesting to see how Connally does in running it. The other thing today was the deal with the women's press. After we got back and at 5 o'clock, the president spent an hour with a selected group of 8 or 9 press ladies discussing Mrs. Nixon and women in government and so on. Then at 8 o'clock tonight, he had a 38-minute interview with Barbara Walters for the Today Show. Apparently both went very well, although they got into more depth than was originally contemplated. I'm sure we'll make some points and probably create some problems as a result. End of March 11th.